Okie dokie. So we are in for a real treat tonight. Obviously, our speaker tonight is going to be Shelley. So without any further ado, will you please come on up and share your story?
Oh, Shelley, alcoholic. Well, before I forget, thank you for asking me to speak. You know, I was sarcastic kind of in trying to think of why I couldn't be here, but it really is an honor and a privilege to be able to come up here and tell my story. It's been a journey. And welcome to the newcomers. You know, if you don't hear something tonight, keep coming back. You know, relapse, no relapse, you know, that's my story, but I keep coming back. And let's see. Well, you know, I grew up here in Santa Maria. My dad's born and raised, and it's just my brother and I. And, you know, we had a really good upbringing. You know, there wasn't a lot of dysfunction that I thought. You know, everything's normal when you grow up in it. So, but nobody was an alcoholic, you know. My parents, you know, we went to, you know, Santa Maria style barbecue, and they had their beers, and we went home, and I don't remember any fighting and all the drama, you know, that that I went through, you know. So, you know, for the most part, things were good. My grandparents were really important to me, and I went back every summer to spend the summer with them in Florida. That's where I was born, and then, you know, as time went on, I was probably grade school, maybe fourth or fifth grade, you know, I stopped going for the summer, you know. There were fond memories there. That was even more normal that I know today, you know. I don't remember any voices being raised or anything like that at all. So it was very peaceful and secure. So anyways, you know, through school and stuff, I was a really good student. You know, school came easy to me. I was straight A's, you know. But, you know, in first grade, I was thinking about this week. I get these ideas, you know, even as a six-year-old, you know, I'm like, let's, you know, I was bused, you know, where tunnel school is, I lived there, and we bused over to Oakley, and let's walk home from school today, you know, with the babysitter's daughter, you know, and everybody's freaked out, you know, and I'm like, what's the problem? I know my way, you know what I mean? Well, she didn't want to babysit me after that. She was kind of different to me, I could tell. You know, so, you know, and that was just one of the times, you know, I was pretty, you know, those are just when my little plans and ideas started, I guess, and I don't know why, but I thought about that this week. And so anyways, school was good. I was good in school. When you're good at something, you know, you like it, and that was all good. You know, I had a lot of friends. But when I stopped taking those summers to back and forth to Florida to spend with my grandparents, things started to change. You know, spending the summer here in Santa Maria, I started hanging out with a different crowd. You know, fifth grade, you know, I'm at the skating rink, you know, there's kids from junior high, there's boys there, you know. And I was like just totally attracted to, you know, the girls, the good skaters and all this, and the girls that had the locker and, you know, all this, you know, so I was like, cool, you know. And, yeah, I'll have to remember that later on where those girls came in play later. So everything, you know, I was looked up to them, you know, but then I was pulled away by this other bad boy, bad girl, you know, I was like, oh, they're having a lot of fun, you know, over there, you know, and then they started, you know, then I started hanging out with people that were bringing their bottles, you know, to the peach schnapps or peppermint schnapps, I think it was, you know, and we were cruising on Broadway, you know, and I'm just a kid, you know, and so that started to go on. I wasn't allowed to go to the skating rink anymore, you know. So time goes on, and you know, that went on for a couple years, just little mischief, you know. And I was always a bully in school. And fifth, sixth grade, you know, I'm putting girls in trash cans at the baseball field and stuff. And, yeah. And so by junior high, you know, things really start changing in junior high, you know. Life's starting to speed up. And it was really, you know, a lot of competition going on there, you know. So the fights started to become pretty regular, and I was good at it, you know. So if you're good at it, you know, you keep going with it, you know. And everybody's cheering you on, you know. And then I start going to parties, and I'm finding out that, you know, I can drink a lot of alcohol, you know. And everybody's like, wow, you know, they think it's great, you know. So I'm like, yeah, I'm cool, you know, this is cool, you know. And I just started feeling really independent and just really, like, you know, Anne said, it was just really, you know, carefree. You know, junior high, I started, you know, of course, you know, mom and dad weren't liking that too much, you know, so they're trying to ground me and do all these things, and I'm running away. And my mom's nailing my window shut, and I'm walking out the front door. Now, you know, I'm like, you know, that wasn't going to change where I was going. You know what I mean? I had to get somewhere, and I didn't care about anybody or anything. I just wasn't even thinking about them. I was just on my mission. You know, I remember one time, and I always hung out with the older crowd. You know, they were always older than me. And one time I took off, you know, walked out the front door, and my mom brings the cops over, and these guys are like, you need to go, you know what I mean? But I'll pick you up on the bike, give me an hour. And I'm like, all right, cool. So, you know, the cops came, bring me home and everything, and I'm out the door again, you know, an hour later, and there he is waiting at the park for me on his little bike, and off I went. So, you know, I kind of put my mom through a lot. You know, she was a voice in the house, and she was where I learned to be, you know, strong and independent. And my dad was passive and quiet. And then, you know, of course, they had my little brother at home. And I don't know, it just kept going on and on like that. I just kept running. I was, at any cost, I was just wanted to get buzzed at this time, loaded, just, it didn't matter. I'm stealing money from them out of my mom's purse, you know. She's to the point where they're calling her from school, and she's going to just have her walk home. You know, she can't keep taking off work to come and get me, you know. And, so, you know, I get to high school, and as a freshman, they said, we don't have a schedule here for you. And I was like, all right, cool, you know. But I've been telling my mom I've been going to school, you know, for a couple weeks, and I've just been partying, you know. Yeah. And so I thought, you know, that's fine, you know. You know, even I didn't even get to graduate on stage. You know, I was banned from all the basketball games and the dances and all this stuff because, you know, I had to go out with the baddest boy at the school, you know. And, you know, I think that was the first time I had gotten in some trouble, and the cops came to the school when I was in junior high. And, you know, I'm just off and running by then, and I had probably, I don't know, I think I drink alcohol, and I had done some cocaine, and definitely was smoking a lot of weed. And I was just on my way, you know. So when high school came, and they didn't have a schedule, that was great. I didn't even think twice about it. I was like, where's the next party at, you know? You know, and then I think I was 13, and I ran away to L.A., well, that's a whole different world over there, you know, that I didn't know, or and I didn't care, but I know that that chokes, that gets me, because I know that that put me, my mom through, my parents, you know, my family through a lot of hell, you know, trying to find me. I mean, I was gone for, I turned 14 when I was in LA, I was missing. I mean, I was gone for like a month, you know, no phone call. You know, your 13-year-old daughter's missing. She just knows I'm in Los Angeles because we had a car chase, you know, before I left town. She's chasing us, and my friend's driving, and she's like, what do? I said, freaking jam, you know. I'm like, get going. So I take off, you know, and finally they're like, the heat's coming on them, you know, my friend's family, and they're passing me around from, you know, place to place, house to house, hiding me out, and they go, you got to go home now. And I'm like, all right. So we went up to Hanford, and someone had passed away in their family, you know, and their uncle, who's, you know, pretty intoxicated, you know, he's going to drive me home back to Santa Maria, you know, and it's late at night, and we're coming back from Hanford, and he's got this Corvette, 70s Corvette, you know, and he's like, you know how to drive? And I said, no. He goes, you're going to learn tonight. And I was like, all right. So I was totally scared, didn't know what I was doing. I'm on the 2-lane highway, and I'm driving, and I'm on the wrong side of the road. And I don't, for whatever reason, I got over, and then a little while later, cars came by, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm almost on the wrong side of the road. That's how clueless I was. I had no idea, you know what I mean? So I get back to Santa Maria safely, and it just kind of went on from there. I tried to enroll in school, went to some independent study, you know, mom's still trying to help me out, doing the best she can, and I'm saying, okay, yeah, maybe I need to do something here. So I start going to school, and then it's going to, you know, be time to get my license, you know. So then I'm like, all right, well, I need to really play this smart because I need a car. You know, if I have a car, then I can go wherever I want. And, you know, I got my car, and it was on. You know, the cruise was, you know, on Broadway, all the mini trucks, you know, we're partying in the mall parking lot, you know. And it was just, you know, everything was good, you know. I'm back hanging out with all these cool people, you know, and then, I'm just getting trashed, you know, and I'm just drunk every day. I mean, you know, back then they would pull us over and have us just pour the alcohol out on the curb, you know. And I got pulled over several times, you know, with a beer can in my pants, you know, going, shit, you know, I'm busted, you know. But no, just talking my way out of it, you know. So I was never learning any lessons because my mom did the best she could, but she was totally enabling the situation now today, you know what I mean? She just wanted me to do better, but she had no idea what to do. And I hadn't gotten really busted. And then I went out partying one night. We went to Santa Barbara. I fell out of a car, got a black eye, you know, I think my mom took the car away or something. And go hang out with these guys the next day, you know, and then that was the first, you know, Romeo, you know, he was going to take care of me, and he was, sold drugs, and you know, he had money, and I had arrived, you know. I was like, all right, you know, so I didn't need that car, so she could take the car if she wants to, you know, because he had three of them, and we had plenty of money, and so that scene started to go on, you know. And you know, by this time I'm frying on acid, smoking sherm, I'm doing cocaine. I'm just a trash can already. Just whatever I could get my hands on, I would try anything, you know. And you know, once I got into that relationship, and I thought that that's that's what it was about, you know? That's what it was about. It was money, and it was about everybody, you know, oh, those girls from the skating rink that were all popular, yeah, they were coming to my house to buy the drugs from me now. So, you know, they were, you know, I was the one that was popular, and they were just, you know, the girls bringing the peach schnapps. So, you know, that went on for a little while, but this, you know, at 16 years old, I'm emancipated. I'm drinking alcohol and using cocaine every day. This relationship's getting abusive, physically and mentally. And I spent a couple years in it. And so, that kind of set the tone, you know, for, relationships. And, so then, you know, he's just getting careless. He's, you know, and I'm still thinking that I'm smarter than all this. And of course, you know, he cheated to get with me. So he's going to do it with me. He's going to do it to me. And he did, you know. So I moved on. I was like, you know, I'm out of here. And I went back to L.A. And that was my safe haven, because those friends down there, they always took me in. They didn't care where I was, what I had. They were just there for me, you know what I mean? And let's go. Let's, you know, go pick up my mom from the bar. Let's go pick up. Let's just keep on moving. So, you know, so that guy comes looking for me down there in L.A., and a couple weeks later, he gets busted. And I was like, thank God, you know. And then you know, I was still kind of caught up in that, I guess, attached to it. I thought, you know, we had accumulated all these things. He gets busted, so I got sucked into this, you know, I'll come back and take care of things. I did that, and then for whatever reason, you know, he's in prison, and he's saying, you know, he's going to marry me, and he's, you know, got this tattoo, and I'm like going, no way. There's no way. I don't know why or what. I was just like, there's just no way. I'm done with this. Here's your cars and everything. And I got as far away from him as I could. And thankfully, you know, because that scene didn't get pretty. It just got worse. And so anyways, I got away from him, and thinking that, you know, he's my problem, you know. And I went back to L.A. again after that. This time I'm just kind of bouncing around, and I moved down to San Diego. San Diego was a lot of fun, a lot of clubs. I wasn't, you know, I've been able to buy alcohol since I was 18 years old. I was just having a lot of fun down there. I got my bartending license. I started bartending, and you know, that was in the late 80s, and that's when crystal meth was on the rise. And I had no idea. I was like, no way, I don't touch that stuff. You know, I only do cocaine, you know. And that shortly changed, you know. Then I'm down in L.A., and I'm living a lifestyle that I can't even describe how different this lifestyle was, like nothing I ever knew. I mean, I was basically selling my soul to the devil, basically, is what it felt like, you know. I was running hard. You know, I thought, and this is the way I would think, you know, I'm like, you know, yeah, well, you know, the guy that used to be the connect when I got down there, he was buying from me now, you know, so that was important, you know, but I'm just getting lost in all this, you know, I'm getting lost, my parents again, I'm not talking to my family, 2 or 3 months are going by, I'm not calling anybody, I show up for Thanksgiving. Somebody wrecked one of my cars, and I show up for Thanksgiving. I was about $1.10, and, you know, a trench coat on, and, you know, packed gun in my back pants, and my brother's like, "Who the hell are you? Who the hell are you?" And I was like, "Man, just get out of my way, you know, what do you think you are, you know, this is my house." So, you know, I was gone, you know, just gone with that. And I don't know what my mom was thinking, but the next day she went out and bought me a card, probably just so they could just get me out of there as fast as they could, you know. My brother was scared. Things didn't go so well those next couple days. You know, I was throwing my weight around, and they just wanted me out of there. So then, you know, I go back to LA and I'm running this lifestyle, and people are getting hurt, and you know, it's just a fast. I mean, I don't even have words for it, you know. But it wasn't affecting me, you know. Really, it didn't matter what anybody said or did. I was just on my mission. And, you know, getting ready to make some really big decisions and some really big mistakes. And I got arrested for under the influence or something, you know, and down there in L.A., you know, it's like, that was the very first time I'd ever been locked up. You know, I'd skated through everything else, you know, all this time. And then I'm in Civil Bran. And the women's prison downtown LA. And I'm coming down and you know, I'm calling mom, get me out of here. It takes a few days down there. It's not like, you know, Santa Barbara County, you know, little phone call and what's his name? What's that bail bondsman's name here? But anyways, it took a little while, you know, so I got to see, it was like a movie in there, you know, that hustle in Civil Brown was like a movie in there. But when I'm in it, you know, yeah, I was scared, you know, but when I got out of there, and they put the money that I went to jail with on my books, and I was off and running again, you know. And that's, and so I just kept on going, you know. And then you know, I had this other guy was kind of hanging around and stuff, and I was just like, didn't have time for that, you know. I was just like, you gotta go. And then this was kind of my first God shot, I think, because you know, I got pregnant with my son, and that, in the midst of all this happened in a really quick time, you know. I'm moving fast, I get arrested, I come home, all these things are happening really fast, and then I'm pregnant with my son. And I just remember I had, you know, big plate of stuff laid out there, and I waiting for the result, and I just pushed it away, and I packed up my car, and I came home. I don't know how or what, but today, I think that was God working in my life, for sure. Because I can't explain anything else. I was gone. I was gone. I looked not good. And my soul was not there. So how I made that decision, I have no idea. But I did. And I came back here. And, you know, my parents always took me back. And I had a pocket full of cash. And then some. You know, I'm burying money in the backyard at my parents' house. And I started to stop partying, obviously, for a little while, you know. But I was still doing my hustle, you know. And I knew because of times, that, you know, coming back to Santa Maria, that there's no future in it. And I had enough time to settle up here that I knew that I couldn't do what I was doing in LA over here. So I just kind of used up that time, just kind of let it all go. And then I had my son, and we were living with my parents. And for the first time, I was starting to have feelings again. And And I moved out, and, you know, at that point, you know, my son was young, and when I got away from my parents' home and stability, I started to slip away again. You know, I'm doing things with my kid that I know I shouldn't be doing. So, so then as much as I didn't like it, you know, his dad comes in the picture and starts seeing him. Well, I get busted again. You know, I'm under the influence again, so I get busted. Finally, I get a program. They're like, and I was ready to go to jail. You know, I'm like, fuck, I did civil brown. I can do Santa Barbara County, you know. That's what they tell me, you know, anyways, on the street, you know. And the guy's like, are you sure that's what you want to do? You know, if you say you've got a problem, you know, we'll give you a program. And I said, all right, I got a problem, you know. And part of me knew I had a problem, but you know, I wasn't ever, I didn't know what that meant really that day. So I took the program, and that's the first time that I got into these rooms, you know. And before then, nobody ever told me anything. I never heard of Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, any of this, or whatever. So I got into the rooms and did the program, put some time together, you know, started, you know, getting a job, you know, did some school, you know, life got together a little bit. And this just kind of went on. I was back and forth, you know, with this. And, you know, I never really knew what it meant coming in here. You know, I would put some time together, my life would get good, and then, you know, at the end of that program, I think I was on my last, I was almost out of there. I had like a year sober, and we went out one night drinking, and somebody pulled out some stuff, and I was like, without even a thought. And there I was again, so I did a little cleanup in Santa Barbara County again, and I graduated from that program, and like I said, you know, my son's dad came back in, and we decided that we were going to give it an honest attempt to raise a family and raise our son. So, you know, that went pretty well, you know, but... you know, my one example of a relationship is all I really had. I pushed people away the rest of my life, and because I was too busy doing my hustle, and so we got married. You know, we had the car, the boat, the whole thing. Life was good. Life was really good. We were taking vacations, you know, but I'm doing all the work, you know, and I just. I start drinking, and then I'm drinking more, and then I find out then he's using behind my back, you know, and I guess if you can't beat him, join him is kind of what my thought was, and my alcoholism was off the hook. I was, everything looked good on the outside. You know, I was PTA mom, soccer mom. I had a job. You know, I was married. We had cars, a pool, a basketball court. We had it all. You know, all that stuff looked really good. You know, on the outside, everybody thought that we had the life, you know. And on the inside, I was dying. And I wanted to just, you know, and it was all his fault, you know. It was all his fault and this, you know. So, you know, my son saw some not so fun times there because I resulted to what I knew, and that was back to, you know, I always been a fighter, so I was going to show him, you know, the violence carried on into that relationship, and finally, I just, I left, you know, I got out of that relationship, and took my son, and about 6 months later, I got a DUI. First DUI, I mean, I'm, you know, driving for years, and that was the next blessing, really huge for me, that made a difference in my life was getting that DUI, because, You know, I was just spiritually sick. I was really broken down again, and I knew it. And I knew I had this program and got my life and had this marriage and had all these things. So I knew somewhere, and somewhere along the line, I heard something in these rooms, you know, coming to the meetings, you know. I stopped going, you know, when I got the marriage and all these things started going good, but I knew that life was better, you know. So I got that DUI and started doing the deal. I mean, they pretty much laid it to me because, you know, I was, you know, probation violation and everything, and they put me on the ankle monitoring, and I do this stuff really good, you know. I can jump through all the hoops, you know. I'm a pro at it, whatever, you know. Yeah, let's do this, you know. And have recreated myself, you know, 100 times. But I got on my way with the program this time and coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And before I, you know, came in through the other fellowship, and I wasn't quite seeing the alcohol problem. I knew that I had a drug problem, but the alcohol, I was not able to relate. But this time, I knew I was an alcoholic to the core of me, you know, and I was broken down. So I start relating. I get a sponsor this time, and I work the steps, and I got a house again, and I got my son and I are stable, and I'm not worrying about anybody else but us, and I'm doing the deal. And I come in the rooms and I work the steps, and I want to say I just didn't have that spiritual awakening that you guys talk about. So then I meet that guy, you know, there he is again, that guy, you know, and, distraction, you know, just distraction, you know, is all it was. And then I'm thinking, I've got this, you know, I'm good, you know, and life starts getting good, and then I start getting bored, and then that guy's gone, and, you know, I start thinking the drink's sounding good, you know. I had a commitment in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I couldn't wait to get rid of it so I could go and get my drink on. And people say they watched me, you know, walk out before I even left. You know, I relapsed before I even took the drink, you know. And I couldn't see it because my perception was all messed up. I worked the steps, but I wasn't living the steps, and I wasn't practicing all these principles in all my affairs by any means. And I relapsed, and it was okay for a little while. All right, you know. You know, had a few good times, you know. Met another Romeo, you know, and then it was like, cool, what's the problem, you know? And so it goes on for a little while. Well, relapse isn't so fun anymore, you know. I'm feeling like that broken down wife that is spiritually bankrupt again. And I'm not even wanting to drink, but I'm drinking, you know. And so I... you know, again, there it is, my violence, history of violence comes up again, and I get it, and I assault my, one of my really good friends, and, you know, we're drinking all day long, you know, and she's just provoking me, and I'm trying not to, and I'm, you know, called for a ride to get out of there, and, well, it didn't go so well. It got pretty ugly, actually, and so I assault her. About 2 weeks later, I wreck my car through a brick wall, backwards, bumping the music, and I'm like, what's the problem? I'm freaking hungry, you know? I don't even realize that this is all going on. I'm just hungry, and I gotta pee. Yeah. And I'm at my kid's work, you know? Embarrassing. Okay? So, he's like, Mom, we need to get you out of here. You know, and I'm like, but I need something to eat, you know. So he's like, let's go. You know, that night when he described to me the next day, and we can laugh about it now, but he was scared, you know, and he hadn't seen that mom in a long time. And he said, "Mom, I think you need to go back to meetings." That's the first words out of his mouth the next morning. And I said, "I know." Something in me that time, that day, there was something really bad around the corner. It was just coming, and I knew it, and I could feel it. You know, I could just feel it that, and I kept saying that night to my son that I'm going to prison. And he's like, "Do you remember saying that?" And I said, "No." And I don't know why, but I knew that that's where I was headed. For the death of someone else or something was about to happen. I just knew it inside of me. So, we joke about it today, you know, he's like, I kept going back out there, "Mom," I'm like, "let's go get some more beer, you know, let's go to, you know, so our friend's house." And he's like, "Mom, you wrecked the car." And I said, Who wrecked the car? And he said, "You went out and looked at it about freaking 6 times and you just wanted to keep on going, you know." So he's nursing me back to mom, trying to get me to just go to bed, you know, just go to bed. He about carried me in the house that night, he said. And when he opened the door and I saw the refrigerator, I stood up and I walked right in and got myself something to eat. And he was like, "What the hell?" You know, so I was just gone, you know, and I don't remember. I don't remember any of it. I don't remember going through the brick wall. And amazingly enough, you know, airbags didn't deploy. No windows broke. It was just a clean shot. But a huge wake up for me. So there I go, crawling back into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, broken down, ashamed, hanging my head down. And I don't know why, but this is the only place that I could think of to come back to, you know. I knew that when he told me that morning that I need to come back to meetings, that this is where I needed to be. So that was December 16th of 2012. And since then, you know, I'd like to tell you that my life is, you know, completely turned around, you know, that I got it all together. You know, I want to stand up here and say that that's what my pride and ego, you know, always wants to show you. It's hard for me to just be vulnerable and authentic when I get up here or when I have to tell you about what's really going on. It's taken some work, but it's worth it. It makes me emotional because I just wish I could tell you just how good it is. The goodness that I feel that I'm talking about, it's coming from the peace that I have inside. You know. And that's not there every day. I'm not going to kid you. You know, that's, like I said, I got a sponsor and I came back and I started working the steps. And this time it was just different. And I actually, you know, we read these readings all the time, but really, they really... at every meeting, you know, we're reading these things, you know, and fully conceding to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic, the first step in recovery. Missed that for years, you know. It never resonated with me. Never really resonated with me until this time. And that, and the help of my sponsor, I can't tell you. I'm really grateful. She's no nonsense, and it's like, do the work, you know? It's like I called her, you know, I'm jumping around a little bit here because it just is so good and there's so much to share. But this last couple weeks, it's like I'm, you know, head's going crazy, perception's off, and she goes 10, 11, and 12. 10, 11, and 12, and I was like, all right, do the work. You know, do the work, you know. Let me back up a minute because, you know, that started early on. You know, it was like turning my will and my life, you know, over to the care of God. That took me a while. I was on that step for quite a while. And for a reason, you know, for a reason. I actually had to pick up the book this time, actually find the answers to my problems in that book, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 and 12. I brought them with me, you know, tonight because I've highlighted and I've underlined, and in case I got stuck, I was like, I'm going to use them. But she's like, no, just do your thing. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I don't, you know, whatever. We can all stand up here and read from the book. You know, I'm just trying to tell you, you know, where I'm at and what happened. And that I have hope today, you know, hope for, you know, they say, what do you guys say? The life beyond your wildest dreams. Don't get me wrong. I'm not there yet, but I know that I'm on my way. If I keep doing what's suggested, not picking and choosing what that is. Anne said it, you know. I'm probably not as graceful at it, but I was thinking it, so I'm going to touch on it too, is that, you know, men and women, you know, men, women stick with the women and men stick with the men, and that's for a reason, you know. Super important, you know. I missed that too the first time, couple times around, you know. Yeah. And yeah, I cleaned that up good because the first time I rehearsed that in my head, I was like, I don't have that. So that was kind of, that was the filtered part of what I really wanted to say. But but you know, I don't pick and choose the suggestions today. If it's suggested, it's because you've come before and you've cleared the way and it's working in your life, and I'm going to do it, you know. I'm going to do it. Why not? I tried every drug out there. Why don't I try every solution that you guys have in here, you know, to better my life, you know. So the inside job is what it's about, and that's really... you know, if you come in here and look for the similarities and not the differences, big help. I just did some work this last couple weeks, you know, when I had to speak, and a lot of stuff came up, and you know, and I got to practice that 10, 11, and 12 because I kind of stopped at 9, you know, I kind of stopped, and this last 2 weeks, I've had to hustle up on my steps and get in that book and do some highlighting and some underlining and figure out what the problem is, because the problem is not you or him or, you know, someone else. It's me, you know. When I am not okay, I need to look at myself and the answers to fix me are in those books. And... you know, all of it, what I find is just fear. It's a lot of fear, you know. And I just figured out that I have a lot of pride and ego that I didn't know that I had. But, oh, and I like drama. Yeah, I'm going to say that one for my sponsor. Yeah, because she missed it the other night, you know. I like drama, yeah. So, and it's not, you know, it's a joke with her, but it's familiar. The drama's familiar. The chaos is familiar. It's not that I like it. You know, I like what I'm getting by doing the work that I'm doing today in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, get a sponsor, give it a try, keep coming back, relapse, no relapse, just keep coming back, because that's how I got my peace. I found the answers here. So, thanks.